Well, good morning, everybody. Today I want to share a message with you that I think is vitally important for everybody to hear. A man that I used to look up to a lot, I still look up to him a lot, is Derek Prince. Who of you know Derek Prince? Who of you have heard Derek Prince's sermons and maybe read some of his books? You know, Derek Prince, to me, was probably the best Bible teacher that I have ever encountered. Maybe you have other people that you like the way that they do things, etc. The way Derek Prince does things speaks to me. It always spoke to my heart. It always spoke to my soul. And my love for preaching comes from his sermons. I love the way that he related things, etc. Now, the point I want to make, he had a series many, many years ago. It ran in the 60s in the United States of America, and he actually used to have it on radio, and it was called Keys for Successful Living, where he took certain Bible principles that was necessary for man to apply in their life that would then bring about success in your life. And the sermon that I have today actually has nothing to do with him, but I want to see it in the same light. This is one of those keys that need to be in your life, if I can just borrow from him what he used to call keys for successful living. How many of you have heard that it has been said that you are the company that you keep? Listen carefully. You are the company that you keep, or a different way of saying it would be the company that you surround yourself with is ultimately going to determine who you are. If I want to know who you are, I don't have to just meet you. I could meet all your friends, and that will give me a very good idea of who you are. Julle weet in Afrikaans sê ons mos soort soek soort, né? Okay, all right. Birds of a feather flock together. You know, we don't always think about it this way. But one thing you must understand about human nature, we are much easier influenced than we would like to confess we are. And sometimes we are very much influenced, even though we tend to believe that we are not. Most people don't see the problems within themselves, even though other people looking at them can clearly see, oh, but that and that and that's not right. It's difficult for us to see it. Maybe one of the things you should do is don't just look at yourself, but look at the friendship circle that you've surrounded yourself with and see what is there, because it is speaking to you about yourself too. Now, this is also a biblical truth that we need to understand if we would like to prosper in life. Okay, so let's make this a very practical session. And let me ask you a question. How many of you sitting here today wants to be prosperous in life? You realize, of course, if you're not raising your hands right now, I'm going to pray for you for being deaf. Because the fact of the matter is, I know that you want to be prosperous. I know that you want to be successful. Everybody has aspirations. Everybody has hopes. Everybody has dreams. Doesn't the word of God says that God delights to grant you the desires of your heart? Now, why do some people get to that place and other people not? I want to tell you something. The Americans like to make this big faff out of everything like that. They know the secret. There's no secret. It's applying the word of God correctly. That's all. It's being obedient to what God tells you to do. The manual is here. Ding, 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 ding. We either don't read it or we fail to apply it. And then we fail. But the solutions are in there. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, listen carefully. He who walks with the wise grows wise. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. Listen to the scripture. It's very, very important. It says, he who walks with the wise will, like the wise, grow wiser. How many of you need wisdom? Who are you walking with right now? No. Think. who you walking. Is there any wisdom to be found where you walking right now? I can't answer that for you, but this is how you need to look at life, and this is how you need to begin to think, because wisdom doesn't just come from nowhere. And yes, we can pray and ask God for wisdom, but this scripture also means something. If you want to grow wiser, begin to walk with wiser people. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but, and this is where it's important, there's a but. If you choose to walk with the opposite of the wise, a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, if you want destruction in your life, make fools your companions, because they are guaranteed to pull you down into the pit. There's a lot of people that are walking the earth right now that have a godly purpose and a godly destiny, but they will never, never, never fulfill it. I'm not cursing you. I'm telling you biblical fact. You cannot fulfill it if you do not surround yourself with the right people, because surrounding yourself with the wrong people brings the enemy into your life. Satan works through people. Always has, always will. Why was Jesus crucified? Because a man chose to denounce him. How many people's lives have failed because of who they have brought around them? It's not difficult for the enemy to work in your life if you surround yourself with the kind of people that he can work through. From this proverb, we can also say that a wise man with foolish friends will end up being destroyed. If a wise man, now hopefully a wise man will not do that, but if a wise man was to, for whatever reason, begin to surround himself with fools, what does this proverb say will happen? Destruction will ultimately come, because his wisdom will not keep him up there. If the people surrounding him keep pulling him down, he's going to come down. I've shown you this many, many times before, but let me just show it to you again. Can I ask... who can I ask? The gentleman sitting there with the blue shirt. Yes, just come here quickly for me. Please, I want to do a demonstration and I think you can help me. Just quickly. What is your name? Nice to meet you, Amos. I want you and I to show these people something that they will never forget. Some of them haven't seen this. This is Amos. Give him a big hand, please. Amos, stand on the chair for me. No, stand. Stand on the chair. Stand. Yes, stand, stand. Normally I'd get upset, but today I won't get upset. Okay, turn to me. Okay. Amos, turn around. Amos, pick me up. Pick me up. Pull, pull, pull. It's not going well, is it? Okay. Oops. No, it's fine. It's right. What was easier, for Amos to pick me up or for me to pull him down? You see, now this is what we don't always think about. Thank you, Amos. Give him a big hand. Thank you. This is what we don't always think about. A wise man is already up there. But for whatever reason, he chooses to surround himself with fools. If there's one fool, two fools, three fools, it doesn't matter. It only takes one to pull you down. What if he has 100 around him? What if he has 20 around him? You see, the thing is, he's going to come down, whether he likes it or not. Also, a foolish man who finds wise friends will ultimately prosper because of who he chooses to surround himself with. So if, by any chance, you've come to the realization that maybe I am a bit of a fool, then I can tell you there's a way out of it. And it has everything to do with who you surround yourself with. Keep hanging with the fools, you will always be a fool. Start hanging with wise men, and you will become wise like them. Amen. When you look at it this way, you will have to begin to realize just how powerful and influenced the friends that we have and the people that we surround ourselves with in life have upon us. Now, if we now begin to know and understand this very biblical truth, It should also impress upon us how crucially important it is for us to begin to make the correct choices when it comes to the friendships that we make with people and the people that we allow to come close to us. And I want to say something to you. It might be time for you, if you truly begin to look at it the way God looks at it, it might be time for you to say goodbye to certain friends. Because they might have proven over and over again that they are the kind of people that will always put you down. If you want to grow in wisdom, you have to surround yourself with people full of wisdom. It's not going to work a different way. Let's look at an athlete. If an athlete wants to get better, who must he train against? Okay, let's say that I am a fairly accomplished tennis player, but I'm not brilliant by any means. Now, let's take golf, for example, because that there's a handicap. So you can sort of, you're on a 3 handicap or a 10 handicap or a 20, or you like me, you're not even on the map. You're somewhere down there, you know. but let's say you're a 15 handicap. And you want to better yourself, but you're constantly playing against people like me. You know, I don't play golf. I play anna-annaing around in the bushes because that's where my golf is. You know, my ball is always missing. If you constantly play with people like me, are you going to get better? No. Why? Because I'm not pushing you. But if you play against a 3 handicap or a 4 handicap, I want to tell you something. You're going to pick up things from that person. You're going to see how they chip. You're going to see how they putt. You're going to see how they drive. They'll give you some tips and they'll pull you up. In other words, the only way to better yourself is to be with better people. But I want to tell you something else. The opposite is also true. If you want to go down, start hanging around with people that are down there. Because there's no other way. You're going to go down to their level at some point in time. So an athlete trains and becomes stronger by competition against superior athletes. One who competes only against weak opponents will ultimately go backwards, never go forwards. Giving up friends can be very difficult, and you may have a million reasons why you would rather not do so. The purpose of my sermon today is not to get you to go home and phone all your friends and say bye-bye. Okay. The purpose of my sermon is to get you to think, to get you to analyze your life, to get you to ask God to speak to you about these things, and if necessary, you have to take certain actions. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33 says, "Do not be misled, for bad company corrupts good character." These are God's words, not mine. Do not be deceived. In other words, he already starts out by telling us most people are deceived on this point. They believe it doesn't matter who I hang around with, I will be fine because of who I am or because of who God is. He says, don't fall into that pit. Do not be deceived. If you only hang around with bad company, it will ultimately corrupt your good character. And I want to say something to you. It doesn't even take long. You take a good man and you surround him with bad people for 1 month and you see what's left of that good man. It happens very, very quickly. And we have to be very aware of this. A bad influence in your life is like a cancer. It will slowly corrupt you until it consumes you and eventually begins to control you. And that's what God wants us to understand. I'll make it very practical for you because I've seen this 1,000 times in ministry. How many young girls who grew up loving God, faithful, adored God, involved in the church, pillar in society, meets a young man of dubious character? A year down the line, do you still find her in church? No. Because she becomes like the company she keeps. How many people that used to love God began to mix with the wrong crowd, and today you don't find them in a church anywhere in this world? And the number one reason why they are not there is because of the influences that the people they allowed close to them have had. How many young boys grew up loving their parents, loving God, being faithful, having an attitude of worship, and then they begin to mix with the wrong crowd because of peer pressure, because nobody likes me, so I'm going to hang around with the bad crowd because they like me, they're popular. And then suddenly his attitude towards his parents become rebellious. He begins to defy all authority. His mom and dad are horrified by the way that he speaks to them, etc., etc. And what's the one thing that caused that? Influences in his life. Bad choices when it comes to friendships. There's a very good example of this in the Bible. You all know Abraham, right? He was a man after God's own heart. He was a friend of God. He was a wonderful man. In fact, he's sort of seen as the father of the Israelites and those who believe. He's our father in faith. Now, what I want to share with you is not about Abraham. It's about a family member of his by the name of Lot. You see, Lot grew up with Abraham. Now, if Abraham was a good man, then under his influence, what would Lot have been? Lot was a good man. But while they were traveling, there came a day when Lot spotted a city there in the distance. And Lot said to Abraham, you know what? You go on your way and I'm going to go my way. I want to go to that city. What was the city called? It was called Sodom and Gomorrah. And we all know that what happened in that city was not good. So we take a man who we know had good character because he grew up with Abraham, and Abraham was a friend of God. God stood up for Abraham every time. So Abraham was right in God's eyes. I'm not saying he was perfect. I'm just saying he was a good man. We take Lot, who was probably like Abraham when they split. And he went and he lived amongst people who lived according to the pleasures of the flesh, who glorified worldliness instead of godliness. And then we see, where did his life end up? Because of the people he chose to surround him with. You see, by the end of the story, Lot is sitting in a cave. He's lost his wife. He's lost all his possessions. He's got nothing left in this world. And as if that's not bad enough, both his daughters are pregnant because of incest from him to them. What happened to Lot's good character? It's gone. Where did he lose it? When he made the decision to stay with bad company. I don't care how good you are. I want you to listen to me. What you choose to surround yourself with will ultimately determine where you're going to go in life. There's a lot of people that complain about their life. They don't like their circumstances. I want to tell you, when Lot was sitting in that cave, he was not happy with his life. But who's to blame for it? Well, ask the question, who made the decision to go and live in Sodom? It was him. Did he know better? I'm sure he did. But he thought, like we sometimes do, what's the worst that can happen? You could lose everything. If you are a parent today, you need to listen very well to Solomon's wisdom. This is one of Solomon's most important proverbs. You are not helping your children. Now, let me explain to you where I want to go with this. A lot of people have this thing, my kids can't go to a normal government school, what. And I have no problem with private schools. Please get me right. I want you to get the mindset. I need to protect my kids from what's out there. I want the best for them. So I take them and I put them in a private school, costs me a lot of money, etc., etc. And I feel good because now I'm giving something good to my children. But then you don't give a hoot who they hang around with. You haven't helped them. Listen to me carefully. The school is not going to determine who they are. The friends they hang around with is going to determine who they are. What good is it you put your kids in a convent, but they're hanging around with satanic people? Or you put your lighty in a military school, but he's hanging around with all the rebellious people in that school, and you say nothing about it. You see his friends and you can see the signs on the wall, but you're like, I'd rather not offend him and step on his toes. Sometimes you've got to put your foot down and say, boy, this is wrong. My girl, this is going to end very badly for you. I've said this many times and I will always say it. You are a parent, not a friend to your children. You can be friends with them too, but you got to be a parent first. And parents sometimes have to say no. Parents sometimes have to say this is wrong for you. I feel like we have become a society that we are afraid to offend people because people are so easily offended these days. I mean, just the way you look at somebody can offend them and they never come back. You know, Jesus had no problem offending people. Let me help you out. Jesus publicly denounced the Pharisees and called them a brood of vipers because of who they were. You know, we can't always tippy-toe on eggshells because we might offend somebody somewhere, including our family members. Right is right, wrong is wrong. And if you begin to compromise on your principles, everything is going to come tumbling down upon you. You've got to stand for what is right. Do you know what's wrong in this world? Good men have stopped taking a stand. They say if you won't stand for something, you will fall for everything. And we see that everywhere. You know, we're living in a country that is still supposed to be predominantly Christian, but show me. Because the people that say they are Christians don't show they are Christians out in the workplace. The children that put on their forms at school, I am a Christian, don't act like Christians at break time. Even the pastors who preach the gospel from the pulpit, when you see them in private, you wouldn't even know that they know God. And that's the problem that we're sitting with today. Children do not have the wisdom to choose correct friends. Now, I'm not talking about your 20-year-old. Okay, they're not children anymore. They're men in any case. I'm talking about your 6-year-old, your 7-year-old, your 8-year-old, your 10-year-old, your 12-year-old, your 13-year-old. Whose responsibility is it to teach them? Raise your hands. It's the parents. Okay, the young people back there, you don't have to raise your hands. You don't. I hope you don't have children. But the fact of the matter is, it is a responsibility being a parent. And you must take that responsibility seriously. And you must instill godly values in your children. And you must prepare them for the pitfalls that are out there. Because if you did not prepare them, God one day will ask you why not. Because He's speaking to you from His word. And He expects you to listen. There's a lot of people today that have committed suicide that probably wouldn't have done it if somebody put their foot down and said, this is not good for you. This is not acceptable. But because we want to be tolerant and because we want to not make waves and this and that, we just, okay, well, you know. No. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Amen. And I want to say something to you. Fools can never be real friends to a child of God. It's impossible. They have nothing to offer you. Fools are people who do not fear God and they do not value God's instructions. Where do I get that from? Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Where do you begin to gain knowledge and wisdom and understanding? When you hear the word of God and you apply the word of God. Okay? He says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The word of God will always discipline you. When you're wrong, it's going to tell you you're wrong. Show me the gray areas in the Bible. You can't. It's black, it's white. Amen? And if you're in the black, the white is talking to you and saying, you need to repent. God expects you to change. Now, a fool doesn't give a hoot about that. A fool is like, so what? Oh, what's the worst that can happen? I don't see it that way. You know? Romans 16 verse 17 to 18 says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings that you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our God, Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. In other words, he's speaking to children of God and he says, watch out. Because there are people out there that want to bring about division. There are people out there, they say, They put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. In other words, when you have friends that constantly want you to do things that are contrary to the Bible, that is a fool in God's eyes. And it makes you a fool if you keep listening to them. People say, what's the worst that can happen? You can open your eyes on the other side and it's not God standing in front of you. It's somebody else called the devil. What are you going to do then? It has been said there is only one life and it will soon be passed. And it's only what you've done for Jesus Christ that will last. We need to live our life the right way because we get one chance. There's no do-overs. In golf, they call it the mulligan. When you had a fresh year, it's like, oh, I call mulligan on that, and then you get another chance. There's no other chance. Your life will be determined by the choices you make today. What if tomorrow you don't have the opportunity to make that choice? I want to say something to you. We all, myself included, we take life for granted. Because we have this thing, oh, I got plenty of time. You know, hell is full of people that thought they had plenty of time, and then they never woke up the next morning. To give them that time, to make that choice, to make the difference, to change things that needed to be changed. I know this is the kind of sermon that people don't really like because it feels too much like I'm being, you know, slapped on the knuckles. But the fact of the matter is, my responsibility is to teach you the Word of God. I can give you sermons on prosperity. I can tell you about the grace of God. I can tell you about God's favor and all of that. It's all real. But when this is not right, it doesn't matter. You're still in trouble. So we got to sort the problems. Amen. We have to know what's right. We have to know what's wrong. We have to do what's right. God does not bless disobedience. God does not bless arrogance. God does not bless rebellion. In fact, He curses it in His Word. How far are you going to go if you don't deal with these things in your life? We all know that David was a man after God's own heart, right? I mean, God had a very special relationship with David. That doesn't mean David didn't mess up. We all know about David's sordid history. He made lots of nonsense for himself. But there was something about David that God loved. I want to tell you something. I like the fact that God put David's stuff in the Bible because it shows me I also don't have to be perfect to be a friend of God. But my attitude must be right. I want to tell you something about David that you probably didn't know. David had no time for fools. Did you know that? Let me show you. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mocker. He says, blessed is the man that does not hang around with the following people, which we could term to be the fools. Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the way of the sinner, who does not sit in the seat of the mocker. In Psalm 119 verse 115, he says, away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. He says, I will not tolerate people around me that push me away from being obedient to God. In other words, he says, fools, depart from me. I have no place for you in my life. Psalm 101 verse 1 to 8. David says the following. He says, the deeds of faithless men I hate. They will not cling to me. In other words, I will not allow people who are faithless to come and cling to me. I push them away. Men of perverse heart will be far from me. In other words, you want to be a pervert? You want to have a perverse heart? You got no place in my life. I push you away. I will have nothing to do with evil. Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I put to silence. In other words, don't come and slander people in front of me. I'll put you in your place. Be quiet. Get away from me. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him I will not endure. Don't come to me puffed up with pride and arrogance and think you're better than everybody. I don't want nothing to do with you. This is David. Do you understand why God liked David? Because David liked the things God likes. David believed that people must be real. David believed that people must be honest. David believed that people must be sincere. I want to say to you that David was the ultimate old school. Today we have new school. And sometimes new school to me means no rules. Anything goes. So what? And you know, people all have rights suddenly. But most of their rights are unbiblical. Yet they fight for it. They kill for it. And they still don't understand why they're not blessed. God will never bless that. Because God, like David, will not suffer a fool. Amen? Still continuing with Psalm 101 from verse 1 to 8. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. In other words, you want to be a deceitful person, you will not even enter my house. I don't want you. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. This is a man after God's own heart. A man who puts his foot down and says, right is right, wrong is wrong. Don't come to me with your gray nonsense. I'm not interested. David was very, listen to me, David was very particular as to who he allowed close to him. Can you see that? There's a lot of people walking the earth today, David would not even spend 1 second in their presence. Now, some people will say, oh, he's a snob. He thinks he's better than others. No, he's applying the word of God, and God loved him for that. David did not suffer fools. Fools he would not endure. David chose friends who feared God and manifested that in their life. Psalm 119, verse 63. Listen to what David says. He says, I am a friend to all who fear you, God, to all who follow your precepts. David says, those are the people I won't mix with. The ones who dishonor God, the ones who are in rebellion to God, those who lie, those who slander, those who are full of gossip, those who demean people, those who think they are better than others. He says, but the ones who honor God, the ones who obey God, the ones who put God first, they are the ones that I will call my friends. Psalm 119, verse 79. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. I don't know if you realize what he's doing here. He's praying to God, send me godly men into my life. You want to know why God loved David? There you have it. There could be a lot of other reasons. But when was the last time you heard somebody speak this way? You never hear this anymore. But this is godly character. This is what makes you stand out in God's eyes. This is what makes God look down upon you and give you favor. Undeserved favor. This is what makes God look at you and he's like, there's my friend. You want to be a friend of God? Push the fools out of your life. So did he have godly friends? Yes, we know he did. We all know that Jonathan was a very good friend of David. He allowed Jonathan close to him. We also read that he was friends with King Hiram in 1 Kings 5 verse 1. We also read that he calls Ittai the Gittite one of his friends in 2 Samuel 15:21. I'm just trying to show you that the Bible makes mention of the friends of David. But you don't read of many friends of David. Do you know why? Because David was very selective who he allowed close to him. Amen. And if you want to learn something today, that's what you got to learn. You know, sometimes we think that to be popular, we have to be in with everybody. Try that and see where your life is after 1 year. You're going to pick up pieces everywhere. Be very selective who you allow close to you. And allow the right people close to you because they will uplift you. Not push you down. David's life has been an inspiration to millions of people throughout the years. I want to tell you, let's say there's 50 million churches in the world today. Probably 10 million has some reference to David today. That's how powerful an influence David has over mankind. David's life was an inspiration. Perhaps you never thought of it this way, but David's life was also a portrayal of who he allowed to come close to him. Because we've already seen who you are allowed to come close to you determines who you are. God loved David because David had the right people surrounding him. So today I want to speak to you about the influences in your life and about your outlook on those influences. Can you also say like David, away from me, evildoers? Here we have a very difficult truth to face. God does expect us to choose wisely who our friends are. I put the word choice there because you must understand friendship is a choice. Sometimes people will come to you and they want to be your friend. You got to take a step back and say, why does this one want to be my friend? Do they just want to be close to me so they can see what's going on in my life? Do they want to be the local post office and spread the word to everybody what's going on in my life? Do they want to be close to me because they want something from me? Do they want to suck me dry? Do they have funny hidden intentions? You see, the thing is, you might have a lot of people that want to be close to you, but you have to screen the ones that you will allow to be close. Now, what is your criteria for doing so? Maybe up until now you didn't even have a criteria. Maybe you didn't even know that this is something God expected you to do. Now you do. Now you must be careful. Looking at it from this point of view, some friends simply are not good friends. It's never easy to make these kind of choices, but if you mean business with God, and if you want to grow in wisdom, you need to make some choices in your life. God's word basically commands us to flee from fools. In other words, don't be afraid to run away from that one because he's not good for you. Amen. Proverbs 14 verse 7 says, stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. Did you hear that? Sometimes people are coming towards you and the voice of God speaks very loudly, stay away. We're like, why? Look at their life. Look closely at their life and you'll know why. Proverbs 9 verse 6. Listen to this. Forsake the foolish and live and go on to the way of understanding. In other words, the only way to live is to turn your back on that which is foolish and begin to move away from it. Why are there so many people that sit in church every Sunday that have no life? Well, again, there could be a million reasons, but one of it's got to do with who they've got around them. You can't live when you are in the company of fools. Ephesians 5 verse 11 says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Have nothing to do. Who's this talking to? Who's it talking to? It's talking to you. And you, he's talking to you. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Point your fingers at me, say, he's talking to you. Yeah, he's talking to me. It's very important. You can be friendly with people. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to speak about that later. There's a difference between being friendly and being friends. It's not the same thing. As a child of God, it is my responsibility to be friendly because I need to be a light shining in a dark world. Come on. I have a responsibility. But it's also my responsibility to make sure that whoever I allow to come into my inner circle are the people God wants there, because the devil's looking to send some people my way. You know, there's a lot of demons that don't like my life. I don't know if some of them are in those people that want to be close to me right now. I need to be wise before I make those decisions. And I need to pray and ask God to help. You know, one thing that blesses me, David prayed. David said, send me godly men or good men. How did he say it? Let me read that to you again. Where was it? Psalm 119, verse 79. May those who fear you turn to me, those who understand your statutes. Should you pray for your friends? Yes. Should you pray for your children's friends? Yes. Because I want to tell you something. Yes, there is a sea of people out there, but there are many sharks. Many. And unfortunately, a lot of people's lives today are in a pit somewhere because they chose to surround themselves with the wrong people. There are many other scriptures that all point to the same message. I have seen over many years in ministry that this area is a great stumbling block for many believers. Yes, they do love God. I don't doubt that. Yes, they do want to serve God. I don't doubt that. But they also enjoy being surrounded by fools. That's where your problem starts. When you explain to them the dangers and the consequences of this, they either get angry with you, how dare you? Or they like to say, oh, how dare you judge my friends? Well, the Bible kind of says I need to do that. Or they tell you, I'm strong in my faith. It will not affect me. Said many people before, and today we don't find them in the kingdom of God. You see, the fact is, the way God put us together, we are susceptible to influence. Everybody is. Don't tell me you're not, because you're no different to me or anybody else. And if you do not have discretion in the choices that you make, if you do not act wisely the way God tells you to in the Bible, at some point in time, the wheel is going to turn. You're going to reap what you've sown. And what you're going to be stuck with is disaster. It's happened to many people in the past. It will happen again. I gave you the example of Lot. Lot had a godly role model that raised him, that he learned from. It didn't protect him from the decisions and the consequences of those decisions many years later. If it can happen to Lot, it can happen to all of us. That's why we need to learn. Amos 3 verse 3 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? I think the King James says, do two people walk together unless they be in agreement? Okay, so now, you the believer, there's the unbeliever. You the wise man, there's the fool. But you've chosen to walk together. That means you are in agreement. Now, that means you are in agreement with his foolish notions. You are in agreement with his foolish thinking. You are in agreement with his foolish actions. Does that bless God? No. There you have it. You cannot bless God that way. God's word tells us that when two people have chosen to walk together, they are, in God's eyes, in agreement with one another. If one walks and blasphemes God, if one walks and lives for the world, if one walks and does not honor God, whether you like it or not, the Word of God says you are in agreement with what that person does. Your life, your future, and your soul is at stake here. You owe it to yourself to make the right choices and allow the right people into your life. I want to say something to you. There are still many godly men and godly women out there. There are good men and good women out there. God knows exactly who they are. And you will find them when you begin to speak to God about these things. And now that you have a bit more knowledge, maybe you'll begin to see a lot of things differently. That's why we need to talk about these things. Proverbs 2 verse 20. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men. How do you get to live in the land? In other words, how do you get to enjoy the fruit of what God has for you? How do you get to experience the blessing of God in where you are right now? You need to walk with good men. It's important. We all need friends. And the right friends are a blessing. And they will uplift your life. But when it comes to these friends, you need to be choosy. You need to be picky. Don't just settle for whatever is available. Look, pray, seek, hear, find. You'll find them. They're out there. Be friendly with everyone. By all means, be the salt and be the light in this world. But choose your friendships carefully. I want to say something to you today. And I do believe God is speaking to quite a few of you. Right now, your life is not going very far because of what you've surrounded yourself with. Until you don't take a stand and make changes, things are also not going to change in your life. You see, some friends are anchors that the enemy uses to anchor you. You are trying to go somewhere in life, but as long as they're around, you will never go nowhere. You know, not everybody around you is a friend. Some people are simply there because they're jealous of you. They want to see what's going on in your life. They want to suck everything out of you. They can't wait to run to everybody else and gossip about you. Those are not friends. And sometimes it looks to me that as Christians, we have no discernment whatsoever when it comes to choosing godly friendships, because maybe we don't know the Word of God and we don't apply it correctly. This is the kind of message that makes people a bit nervous and jittery, because it's like, wow, it sounds like I'm getting a hiding. No, I'm giving you an opportunity to be blessed. When you hear the Word of God, the Bible says, today when you hear my voice, if you obey me, I will bless you. What does it help? We want to be blessed by God, but we refuse to hear the Word of God. And you know, the Word of God does not have to conform to popular opinion. I don't care if the United Nations doesn't like what I'm preaching today. It's still the Word of God. The ruling party can have a hissy fit for all I care. It's still the Word of God. Right is right, wrong is wrong. We have to preach it. We have to stand on what is right. You know, the world is falling apart right now because people want to remove God from everything. Gets you nowhere. Take a stand. Plant yourself on the Word of God. Show God you mean business. Let's see where you are in a year or two's time. Your life will be different. You're going to go somewhere. Why? Because God's word says you will. So be friendly with everybody, but by all means, be salt, be light, but choose your friendships carefully. As a child of God, we are the image of Christ to this world. It is our responsibility to be friendly with people. The word of God says we need to be kind. And so we need to be kind with people. Whether they're good people, bad people, it doesn't matter. My responsibility is to show kindness. I need to show compassion. I need to be helpful. But none of that means that you must just be my friend for the sake of being my friend. I still need to see whether you are worth being my friend. In a sense, you earn the right to be my friend, and I earn the right to be your friend based on how I live my life in accordance with the Word of God. Otherwise, you can't say you're a child of God if the Word of God doesn't mean nothing to you. The same thing goes for choosing a marriage partner. You know, there's some people that you obviously want to get married at some point in time. Do you just go for the first thing that's out there, or is there a criteria that God wants you to check out first? There's a criteria. And probably if we check the criteria first, it'll make a big difference in the long run. Not everybody is for everybody. There's good people. I'm sure in this church we've got some good people. Get to know them. See what character they really are. Because I want to tell you something. Masks always fall off at some point in time. You know, a lot of people have this attitude, today I wear this mask, tomorrow I wear that mask. The problem is you forget which mask you have on some days. and then everybody sees right through you. I can tell you it's true. But a man of godly character and a woman of godly character will be the same always. Those are the people you want in your life. Those are the people you can allow close. Because when the pawpaw hits the fan, they will be there for you. They won't skinner about you because there's a problem. They'll sincerely want to help you because there's a problem. Amen. And they don't walk all over you when you fall. They help you up when you fall. The ultimate friend that you need is Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. David came to a place that God looked at him and said, "You're my friend." David was a wonderful man, but he wasn't special in the sense that nobody else can achieve the same place with God. I do believe we can. We can learn from his life. We can see what he applied and how he applied it. And we can, copy it, emulate it, replicate it. We will do well because we have biblical examples. Did anybody learn something today? Please give the Lord a big hand.